You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
It's a big day. It's a big day for all of the people of the Take It Easy universe. The Take It Easy Extended universe is in a flurry. There's hushed voices in the crowd.
From here on out, you and everybody else who listens to this show can refer to me as dad, as daddy, papa, father.
All right.
Anything.
Prince Papa?
But you will not refer to me as anything but those.
Okay.
So
I'm not your first name anymore, no, just Papa. No.
Yeah, daddy, dad, father.
Mm-hmm.
What you can pick, but it's gotta be that. Because I'm a dad now.
Big P? Big P?
Big P? That sounds like a grandfather.
No, no. Grandfather's like, that's Gim Gam. That's Goofy. Gim Gam?
That's some like Missouri shit right there. You meet some Marine from Missouri. And you're like, oh, who are you talking to on the phone? He's like, oh, I'm talking to my Gim Gam.
Okay. What do you call your grandfather?
Well, we say like Papa, but Papa.
Papa?
Yeah, but that might just be like an Papa? Accent thing.
Like he's he's kind of like an old puppy.
We would always say Papa, but I think that was
come
just
here,
like
Papa.
We didn't know how to say Papa, so we started with Papa, but then that just kind of that just stuck, you know.
Yeah, it sounds Southern almost.
Papa.
Yeah, it does sound
Papa,
a little Southern.
I caught myself a newt, Papa.
Well, the question has become in my family: what are our parents going to be called? I like Pops.
Pops.
I like Pops.
That's stupid. You're an idiot. You're such an idiot. Oh, man.
What are you talking about? Pops is good.
I'm going to tell on you.
To
I'm
who?
I'm going to tell on you to fucking J.D. Quintel.
J.G. Quintel.
J.G. Quintel.
I don't think you have any business talking to him.
Yeah, well, I do now because you just decided to just take a little piece out of regular show and you're going to start calling your father-in-law and your dad. Wait, is it your father-in-law or your dad that's going to be Pops?
Well, Pops isn't exclusive to regular show.
Okay, but that's
Pops. I had a good buddy who referred to his dad as Pops.
All right, fine.
What would be, I know that you have a problem with how early I had a kid, but what would you have a problem with?
Wait, hold on. You can't just slip past that. You can't slip past that.
That's like public knowledge.
No, that's like putting a grenade in my pocket and then just walking away.
Well, I was going
to
say,
the repercussions of that.
How soon would you allow me to have a grandchild?
Well, first of all, first thought, interesting level of influence you think you're going to be having. In the further down the line reproductive situation.
Well, I can start influencing now. This is going to be a decade, two decade long influential journey. I am an influencer, and I'll be influencing him to make the decisions.
You're one of life's greatest influencers right now. You're going to be rocking him to sleep, and you're going to be like, you will have a child at 19 years old.
Yeah.
And that child after will have one at 4.
Yeah, that way I could be a great.
Great, great.
Great, great. Back in the day, I feel like people had great greats were probably pretty common. Because if you're on the 20-year interchange, you can get deep quick. And
absolutely.
For a lot
absolutely.
Of history, people
I mean,
were
that's the whole,
getting
that's,
in
that's
before
the 20s. Secret right there, getting deep.
Yeah, that is the secret.
Tucker's back. He's a father now. Let's take it easy.
So yeah, I had a kid and he's great. And as of this recording, he's over 7 weeks old.
Wow.
And he's very fussy today. Mom is very tired.
Yeah.
Dad is very tired.
And dad also was late to the recording because his fucking car broke.
First off, it's a truck. Second off, the power steering, one of the power steering,
2005 Toyota Corolla.
It's a 2002 GMC Sierra 2500 HD, and the power steering hose blew. So I had to get the hose back on, which wasn't complicated, but it was a little pain in the butt. And then I had to have someone take me to Napa to get power steering fluid. And did all that, and we got it home. Because on that truck, it has a hydro boost system, so the power steering and the brakes are related.
About the truck. Nobody cares about that shit about the truck.
I bet a lot of people care about the truck.
Yeah, yeah. No, they're like the four truck guys that care about the GMC. They're like, what? It's got the...
Just know she made it home. So I thought it was going to be stuck at work.
She made it home, and she's still in good. And that's the car. And now Tucker is now also an owner of a green truck that he drove to high school, just like me. Just like me.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
And now, as of today, we are beginning the long, infinite journey of repairs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I know it well. Yeah, but the thing is, something like that, Tucker, the difference between you and me, something like that, Tucker, you were out of service for maybe an hour and a half. That would put me out of service for weeks.
I am.
That would shut down the whole system for me for a month. Not because it was particularly hard to get fixed or whatever. It's just that now it's like, you know, I'd be like, oh, fuck. Because I got to take it in. I got to have to take it in. And you probably can't drive it when it doesn't have the fluid.
No, because you're like,
it's probably just like trying to turn a fucking pirate ship.
You're turning the entire weight of the vehicle. So if you're not moving fast, it's really, really hard.
Did you drive it?
Well, I drove it around the farm that I was at where I work to like test it. And I was like, this isn't making it home. But if you had let me continue, the hydro boost system connects to the brakes. So I had no brakes either.
Oh, yeah. That's something you shouldn't take on the road.
Yeah, but it's not my brake lines, which is good because that would have been, we would not be recording right now.
Right.
Absolutely. I would be getting a tow truck.
Yeah.
But I got it done.
So you were able to brake.
Well, now I am because I fixed it.
Oh.
But when I blew the hose, lost 100% of the fluid in the system. So I had no power steering and no brakes.
Wow. Well, let's get on the main
topic
here, which is that you're a father now.
I am a father
now because you've been gone for so long. You've been
people
gone for
only
so
think
long.
I've people been gone for a couple weeks. But for you, I've been gone longer because I pre-recorded episodes as well.
Yeah, we pre-recorded a month of episodes, and then it was like, I knew this was going to be the case, but Tucker was like, before the birth, Tucker was like, yeah, no, we should be fine with just a month. I'm thinking to myself, there's no fucking way that's true. I'm like, thinking to myself as he's saying that, I'm like, isn't maternity leave like 3 months usually for people? Like,
I think it's longer.
I think it's usually, well, I mean, you
know. It varies, I suppose.
In them socialist countries, it's a bit longer. You know, people are getting half a year of maternity leave, which I'm sure you guys would have preferred.
I applied for leave with Massachusetts because the company I work for pays into the system in which I could receive money, like kind of like unemployment, but for babies.
Yeah, but you got fucked by the government.
Oh, yeah. And when I was doing this, Emma was like, I was stressed. I was like, there's no way this is going to work. Like, I hate the government. They hate me. And Emma's like, it's going to work. Why would it not work? Dude, they call me. I'm at the hospital. They call me like, yeah, just so you know, you got denied. You're not getting a cent.
Wait, at the hospital when the baby's
born? At the hospital. I've got a 1-day old. They're like, yeah, you've been denied. You're not getting a cent. See ya.
You got a one day. Oh, and this was probably the time when you were, which, I mean, would you, do you want to tell the story of the separation?
We can tell the birth story. So here's the birth story, everybody. Okay. Buckle up, saddle up.
And let me just say also, like, this is probably, this period has probably been from the time that pretty much the, maybe a week before the birth until really kind of now, with a short battlefield period in the middle, has been the, like, the least that Tucker and I have spoken to each other in years. Years and years and years.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Yeah. Battlefield came out and there was like, I played with you like three times.
And we had some good gaming, but
we
that
had
was
some
like
good
pretty
gaming.
Much the only interactions we had. And that was when I like learned a lot of information, but I was mostly leaving you guys alone. And so I would learn all this stuff in like bulk, kind of like you guys are right now, listeners of the pod.
So here's the birth story, everybody. So Emma was a week late. So I took off work, all of my works. I'm hustling everywhere. I took off like leading up to the delivery date, which came and it went and there was no baby. So we waited a full week. And the baby still wasn't coming naturally, so we went to the hospital to get Emma induced, which
Emma
is like, they
get this thing out of me! Get this thing out of me!
Yeah, she was. She wanted it out. And I think any woman who's overdue will completely understand that feeling.
Yeah.
Because pregnancy
seems
like a
sense. I made sure to let Emma know during that period that, what was it? It was the... I think we talked about it maybe on the pod, but like the longest birth or like,
oh yeah, the longest,
like
labor.
The longest time a woman had a baby in her belly was like more than a year. I think it was like a little bit, like a 370 days or something.
That's horrible.
Yeah.
Don't do that. So we got induced, which means
that's
they
like
gave
a
him
man in there at that point.
Oh, he's grown.
The guy's going to come out in a suit.
He's going to come out pissed.
he's gonna come out and he's gonna already have like chores assigned to him. He can walk and talk.
I am excited for him to be able to walk. Talk, I'm not ready for the talking yet though.
Oh really? That's not usually something that people look forward to when they have a kid.
Well, talking seems so formal. Like I kind of just like the coos
not for a while. I don't think it's gonna be formal for a while. It's gonna be a lot of like, because they're starting from square one, and this is, and they don't currently have a native language yet.
Yeah, it's true. He,
can
we
you
are
imagine
starting from
being
square
fluent
one.
In no languages.
Well,
the child's mute right now.
Sometimes
it's a
I'm
mute
carrying
thing.
Him around. He's not a mute. I will tell you that. I think
he's
I can actually hear him
just doesn't
right
know how to
articulate
it yet.
Oh, he's got a lot to say.
Yeah.
Well,
so you went to the hospital.
We went to the hospital scheduled to get induced. So we like show up at the hospital at 5 p.m. And we have our luggage. It's kind of like we're going on vacation, like we're going to a hotel. We'd check in, like we'll show you to your room. We live in a smaller town, so we were the only people on the delivery floor, which is great because that means every nurse there is working for us. Which is pretty rare. Like in New York City, there's like thousands of babies getting born every day. But here, he was the only baby on the floor that
assembly
week.
Line babies.
Yeah, no, we've got like farm raised organic babies around here.
Yeah.
So we go to get induced. So they give Emma medicine to start making her body like have contractions, I think. And the labor. So that was the beginning of labor. Or actually, dude, you know, I'm not the right person to be discussing this. I don't know if that was the beginning of labor or if when the water breaks is the beginning of labor. But maybe it's when the water breaks. But our labor was like...
I think labor is when the contractions begin.
I don't know.
Like that's because that. Well, I mean, if we think about the word, let's break this down. I'm gonna do you a favor here because you've been away for a while. I'm not gonna look this up. I'm not gonna look this up. We're gonna try to logic our way through this, and that's a gift to you.
That's home gift. New Ted.
Although I might not be able to resist it, and may have to look it up after we do this. But, like if we think about the word labor, I imagine the contractions are kind of the most strenuous portion leading up to the actual push, right?
Well, contractions begin way before you ever go to the hospital, but they're erratic and not as intense. Like they start a week out, you'll start getting random contractions.
Oh, interesting. And, so maybe in that case.
And as the frequency increases and the time between them decreases, you know you're getting closer to labor.
Is the contractions what flips the baby around and gets them in fucking firing position?
I think the baby's upside down for quite some time. I think it lives upside down in there.
I think at a certain point, like one of the markers for its coming soon is that the baby's like
flips.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not sure, but I want to say he was upside down for a long time. I mean, he's got a big head.
Yeah, it's usually like a problem. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Most fetuses will... I'm sorry, I had to look something up. Most fetuses will flip to a head-down position before they reach full term 37 weeks.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
It's usually a problem if they come if they're like feet first. That's usually like...
Yeah, oh, I've heard that's bad. Well
yeah, because
anyway, her labor...
the biggest part of their body.
Her labor was like 24 hours of active labor. I want to say it was after the water breaks is when you're in... Yeah, it's after the water breaks when you're in labor. It's not just contractions because contractions are happening and they're happening and then burst. And then it's like, okay, we're officially in labor. Emma's water broke at like 5 a.m.
So I think I'm sorry. I had to look it up. I'm so sorry.
I just told you what it is.
What would you say? I wasn't even listening because I was so
once
busy.
Once the water breaks, you are officially in labor.
Do we want to hear
the AI overview? Said? Yeah,
I mean, I could choose something different than the AI overview.
No, just give it. What does it say?
Well, okay. Here's what I'll, you know what? I'll go with Mayo Clinic. The first stage of labor. This is from a website. This is a website.
It's professional.
It's kind of funny how like any website now feels like better than the AI overview at this point. Whereas before it was like you got to use quality websites. It's now like. If
now
you
it's
choose
like, just
a
website, please use
that's
a website.
That's already above what you, people are usually taking from Google. But the first stage of labor and birth happens when you begin to feel ongoing contractions. So they're, I guess it's like when they...
I think those are often kind of simultaneous. Because like when the contractions get like rhythmic and frequent is when your water breaks.
Gotcha.
Because... once the water breaks, man,
then you're in trouble.
You know, it's so hazy. I remember living it and it was so real, but now looking back, I'm like, the order of operations is hazy. I haven't had to recall it.
It was kind of like its own type of high.
Yeah, I would say it was kind of like that. It's kind of like a wedding, like your own wedding, which you also don't know what that's like, but it's kind of like, every single thing is new and also like 100% relevant to you. So it's like every single moment of this day or event you're supposed to remember.
Mm.
So then when you're trying to recall it, you're like, what the hell?
Yeah. No,
and it's like exclusively your event.
I think the only thing that I can relate to and like I can connect to in terms of that is that like I just directed a music video and it's like, when
like
you're the
whirlwind,
director, like all of the questions for everything that's happening that day and the progression of it, like all you're the vertex of all of that.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, I remember this last one I did was like 13, 14 hours straight. I was standing up. I maybe ate food for 20 minutes, but then it was like, we're talking like at lunch too about what we're doing when everyone's back from lunch. Like, all right, folks, this episode of Take It Easy is sponsored by our friends at Soul. Listen, guys, the holiday season can be stressful. Endless shopping, travel, parties every weekend. That's me partying. When I need to slow down and actually relax, I'll be reaching for Soul's out-of-office gummies. The perfect balance of CBD and THC helps me find my calm and keep my peace of mind. Soul is a wellness brand that believes that feeling good should be fun and easy. Soul specializes in delicious hemp-derived THC and CBD products designed to boost your mood and help you unwind. Their best-selling out-of-office gummies were designed to provide a mild, relaxing buzz, boost your mood, and enhance creativity and relaxation. With five different strengths, you can tailor the dose to fit your vibe. From a gentle 1.5 milligram microdose to their newest 15 milligram gummy for a more elevated experience. Take advantage of Soul's Black Friday Cyber Monday deal now. For a limited time, get 40% off your entire order. Go to getsoul.com and use the code TAKEITEASY. Once again, that's getsoul.com, promo code TAKEITEASY for 40% off. Don't miss their best deal of the year. This episode of Take It Easy is also sponsored by our friends at Uncommon Goods. The holidays are here, folks. We're in them. It's December right now. It's time to find some gifts. Let's be honest. And if you still have some names on your list, don't panic. Uncommon Goods makes holiday shopping stress-free and joyful with thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts you can't find anywhere else. You'll discover presents that feel meaningful and personal, never rushed or last minute. Uncommon Goods looks for products that are high quality, unique, and often handmade or made in the United States. Many are crafted by independent artists and small businesses, so every gift feels special and thoughtfully chosen. I've said this before, but one of my favorite gifts that I've seen on Uncommon Goods is these ceramic Major League Baseball ice cream bowls that they remind me of the ones that I had when I would go to Red Sox games when I was a kid. So I, you know, honestly, I'm hoping that my dad isn't watching this particular episode of Take It Easy or the sponsor, because I might be getting this as one of the gifts that I'm going to be getting for my dad. And Uncommon Goods has something for everyone, from moms and dads to kids and teens, from book lovers to sports fans to foodies, mixologists, gardeners, the freaky green thumbs. You'll find unforgettable gifts that are anything but ordinary. Okay. And when you shop at Uncommon Goods, you're also supporting artists and small independent businesses. But could be better. So don't wait. Make this holiday the year you give something truly unforgettable. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/takeiteasy. Once again, that's uncommongoods.com/takeiteasy. Don't miss out on this limited time offer, please. Uncommon Goods. We're all out of the ordinary. Now let's get back to the episode.
Oh, dude. William Osmond. He was like, you're not going to get any food while you're there. Pff, bullshit. It was gourmet. It was locally sourced beef with like locally grown vegetables. And the best part is Emma wasn't allowed to eat any of it.
That's terrible. That's a terrible takeaway. That's a horrible takeaway. It's like, you're just like sitting there, leg crossed tightly over, and Emma, you're like, Emma.
She's been in labor for like 6 hours, right? So like we've been there for like 18 hours. She's been active labor for 6, but she's nowhere close enough. Like, it's not coming anytime soon.
Yeah.
So the nurses were, and you know, I'm kind of looking over at her mom, because it's me and her mom and Emma. And we're like, well, we should eat. But I'm like, I feel bad eating because Emma can't eat because she's on meds and the whole works. The mom's not allowed to eat until the baby's born.
Right. So she didn't eat for 18 hours?
Her labor was 24 hours.
So she didn't eat for a full day?
But yeah, more than that. While doing...
I've never seen a visual of a pregnant woman like in the hospital bed eating. That would be kind of ridiculous. Well, where it's
there's
like
a lot of like, pictures of
like
women.
She's mid-labor, mid-push. She's like, give her a bite. Give her a bite of something right now. And she's like...
There are a lot of pictures of women with brand new babies eating because they're really hungry right after because they haven't eaten and the labor is incredibly strenuous. But so I was like, should we get something? The nurses were like, you guys need to be eating so that you can stay awake and be on top of this. And we were like,
good for them.
All right. Room service. It is gourmet food.
Now that is the good thing about like nurses in that situation. I imagine that they've seen like every manner of shitty husband over the course of their
dude,
tenure.
I think I was a superstar in there.
Oh yeah,
I think they really liked me. The nurses were great.
Yeah, because they've seen how bad things can get too. I'm sure that they've seen like the shittiest level of husbands.
So oh yeah, I was in there and I was doing stuff and I was thinking like, man, there's probably a lot of really shitty husbands. One thing that happened, I had to adjust. Like we went there, and we went there 5 p.m. and we're like settle into the room. They give Emma the meds, but other than that, it's like, all right, we're just gonna check on you like every hour. And see if, like, it's working. Yeah. But otherwise, just, like, chill. And so we're watching Malcolm in the Middle on cable in the room because there's a TV in there. And we're just chilling. And then they're like, all right, try to get some rest. So I was like, all right, I make my little bed on the little dad chair with my whoopee, my pillow. And I was like, all right, I'll go to sleep. And then the nurse was, like, checking on Emma every 20 minutes all night. And I was like, aren't we supposed to be sleeping? And I wasn't in, like, the mindset yet.
You're kind of a light sleeper, too.
Yeah. I'm always on watch. Well, so that was kind of rough. But then you get to a point where you're, like, any sleep, any chance you get, you're, like, taking it. Yeah. Once you get really tired
in there. Did you have any sort of, like, in terms of, like, getting sleep or, like, the uncertainty, were you getting, like, any sort of traumatic flashbacks to boot camp in any way?
I'll tell you one thing that's very similar to the Marine Corps in the delivery zone, and that is the interactions between the nurses and the doctor is very much officer and enlisted. You have these nurses, they're in their 40s, they've had multiple children themselves, they deliver babies like every day, right? Mm-hmm. Like they do 100% of the work, and then the doctor comes in and like pulls the baby out and like acts like they're the king. But it's like, yeah, the like nurses are with you every day, all day, doing the nastiest shit for you.
Yeah,
like
frontline shit.
Yeah, they're doing frontline shit. They are cleaning up any fluid that happens to find itself onto the ground, which will be a lot of different fluids. And they just do it no problem. Like they are, at least for our nurses, they were fantastic and they were on top. But then the doctor comes in and kind of like gives them some orders and they're kind of like, I don't know if I agree with that. Like, you know, there's this weird, this is a very weird dynamic. It's very much like officer showing up and there's like a bunch of enlisted guys who have been like doing this job for a long time.
Yeah. But it's like, and it's honestly the same, kind of the same reasoning too.
Yeah. It's like, okay, you
it's
went to
based on the school, amount of school. Yeah.
But it's like, I've been in this hospital delivering babies for 20 years and I have three kids.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's very much like you have
to the school of hard knocks.
So yeah, the baby comes out after 24 hours of active
labor.
I guess I
need to ask more specific questions.
You do.
Like, what were you like when it was happening? Were you like, were you holding Emma's hand? Like,
well, during the pushing, yes. Mm-hmm. During the labor is really long. Okay, I can get more specific. I can lock in. It's like I'm recatching.
Now it's
up
coming
with
back
it.
To you because you're thinking about it. Yeah.
Yeah. So the labor is very long, and there are moments where it hurts, and there are moments. Well, it hurts the whole time, but there are moments when it's like, oh, this is so insane. I hate this. And then there are moments where like, I can sleep through this.
Right.
She'll be like,
at the beginning, you were saying that you weren't sure if she would get that injection thing, the painkiller.
Oh, the epidural.
Yeah.
Oh, Yeah, she was like, I don't think I want epidural. Dude.
Because it's like, because there's like a question in like the you know, the well, birthing like, world on like.
Dude, there are these uppity fucking mothers on TikTok and Instagram on the shorts game, right? Who are just like, if you don't do this, like you're not as good of a mom. Like it's this whole mom hierarchy bullshit.
Yeah.
And it's like, dude, there's
and one like, of those is like if you take an epidural, you're not as real of a mother or something.
Yeah, it's you're not as tough, but it's like,
damn,
the epidural changed the fucking game.
Yeah,
because so leading up to it, Emma's
and also getting, like, why wouldn't you engage?
I don't think
in
there's
the
any,
peak of like scientific, like, I don't our, think like there why are wouldn't you want to make things easier for you? Like, there's that, like, that's like some weird fucking. Like I'm sure there, I mean, there's examples of that like across the board for things like just making things harder so that like because you feel like it should be harder.
Yeah. You know? Well, I think birth varies from woman
you know,
to woman.
You know what that's the equivalent of? That's what? The equivalent of regular fucking Dark Souls players having a problem with summons in Elden Ring.
Well, the summons make it
summons
exponentially
are too-
easier.
What? No, like the summons make thing make playing the make you know, make fighting stuff easier in the yeah. boss levels and stuff. Giving birth is a boss level, is a boss fight.
Epidural
the summons
summon.
Are the epidural.
And Emma's never been good at Dark Souls, so in that case,
and Emma's shit well, at that game, so she really needed them summons.
She said this. Emma said this to me. If my birth was only like 3 hours or something, like my labor. I probably could have done it, but it was 24 hours.
Yeah, and she got that at like hour five.
Yeah. Well, so when she's in active labor, she's getting in a lot of pain, and they've got her on this yoga ball thing because they're like, get in any position you want. Like, the baby can come out of you like when you're in any position. They're like, get on your hands and knees, stand up, squat, do whatever you want. So they get her on this exercise ball. She's like, in so much pain, I'm like rubbing her back hard, like it's really tiring. And I was like, "Fuck, dude, am I gonna have to do this for 20 more hours?"
And hey, that probably was the. And you know what? I'm gonna recognize you right now for that. I'm
dude,
sorry
I felt like a hero.
That.
But then, so here's something that they offer.
And she's like, "Ah," and you're like,
"Dude, I was like hard rubs." So they're at this hospital, they offer you laughing gas, right?
Mm.
And they're like, do you want to get on the gas? And she's like, okay. They bring it to her. They get, you know, they got the can and the mask.
They gas you? What?
And they're like, here's the mask. You know, take as much as you want. And we'll be around. Call us if you need us. Because the nurses will, like, do something and then they'll leave and be like, call us if you need us. Like, we'll be in the hallway.
I love so, that. That's like the equivalent of just like them handing her like a fucking weed vape and just being like,
dude,
go crazy,
it
dude.
It was because she was in the most amount of pain I've ever seen her. Rough shape. They give her this. Like, I was like, okay, I'm going to go take a piss. I go out to the bathroom in the hallway. So I come back. Emma's like, she was like tears, like, red, insane pain. I come back from the bathroom. She's like, hey, how's it going? I was like, what the fuck happened in here? She's like completely baked.
Dude.
Just absolutely chill.
I feel like I'm getting a visual in my head of just like, of like, I'm having like an empathy visual of Emma's position. Like, oh my God, that must have been so scary and strange and just like,
mm-hmm.
Like, oh my God, I can imagine just giving birth must just like in the moment feel like a fucking bad dream that you can only get out of by go doing the thing.
But yeah, by like pushing forward, there's no way out of it. But yeah, so that laughing gas was awesome.
I'm so glad to be a guy.
Oh yeah. After that, dude, I'm locked in.
No, women are the strongest beings in our culture.
I wouldn't go that far.
I mean,
I'm just kidding, dude, but I'm not going to make that
stance. They're the fucking foundation of our, of
let's just say I plan.
They're the bedrock of our population. They're the ones that keep us going into the future.
They are very
important. They give fathers their sons.
They are pretty important to our species, I would say.
Yeah. They create legacy.
Yeah, they do. They are pretty great.
Wow, man.
Women are pretty great.
Why am I convincing you of this? I feel like you should have been hit Nirvana by the time you were through that.
Oh, I like Emma more now for sure.
Well, that's good. That's good.
We have
to
a
hear.
Deeper connection.
Really?
But she got super stoned on that stuff and was like, yeah, she was like, I think that I'm feeling better. And it was so obvious. Like, yeah, you're completely chill right now. You just went from a 10
stoned.
On that pain scale in the
really?
Nurse's
a
office. 10?
Like,
yes.
Wow. Well, I mean, it must have been the most pain that she's ever experienced. Like, she can't imagine 100%. Being more pain than that. Oh my God.
Yeah. So it's like, you just went from a 10 to like, two, one. And she's like, do you think it's working? Like, yeah, Emma, we think it's working. But that wore off. That stopped working. Because she's hooked up to the things, like the heart monitor and the contraction monitor. So you can like see a contraction coming mm-hmm. on the screen with like the lines.
Oh, you can see it working up to a new one?
Yeah. You can like see her muscles tensing. It's like picking it up and you can see it on the screen.
Oh.
So you're like, oh, and you're seeing the spacing, and you're like, okay, the spacing's still really consistent. It's not shrinking.
Yeah.
Because when the spacing's in, you're looking for all that. So that started wearing off. The gas was not cutting it, but they let her take as much as she wanted. So it got to a point where she's just like huffing the gas nonstop, and it's not really working anymore. So that's when she got the epidural. And they asked me, I think a lot of husbands pass out. When they give
and so
it
the
to
epidural's them. A thing, like that's a thing they inject into her spine, right?
Yeah, it's a huge needle that they put in her spine.
Oh my God.
Yeah, some special
yeah,
doctor
we can
guy.
Relieve
came
your pain, we just have to use the scariest medical tool we have to give it to you.
Yeah.
In the,
but
and
then
put
she
it
had
in
a,
the scariest place to receive said thing.
Yeah. They're like, do you want to watch? And I was like, does anyone want to watch the needle go in? I'll just face it.
Yeah,
away
we've had some fucked up weird husbands before. We just we just like to offer it in case they're interested. Yeah. We don't want you huffing and puffing as you walk in. They didn't let me watch the fucking needle go into your spine.
Like, oh, I have
like, that. Why do you look so bummed, Tucker? Well, I'm happy we have a kid, but they nurses didn't let me watch the needle go into your spine, and I really wanted to see that.
That reminds me of the cutting the cord story that I'll get to. Because it's related. Okay. She got the epidural, and then she had this button that she could press to like put more of it into her system. So she'd be like, Can you hit my button? Or that she'd have it and she'd hit it and she'd get like a boost of it. And she was
like, this is like fucking cyberpunk or something.
Dude, when she got that epidural,
give me a boost, Chum.
She became like not pregnant anymore. Because you gotta think, she's 9 months pregnant in active labor. Her mobility went from non-existent to like as limber as me.
Whoa.
And it like that. They're like, okay, you should try like getting up on the bed. Boom, up on the bed. Like,
wow.
Yeah, no.
But then that also didn't last, surely.
It's just like you can only fight the pain. It was more like the exhaustion and the uncomfort than take over, not necessarily like pain.
Wow. Well, damn. Okay. Well, that's interesting because so it really kind of just gets rid of her pain throughout the rest of the pregnancy. And it was just like kind of physical exhaustion and just sort of like situational uncomfort.
Yeah.
So is the rest kind of like not as bad or?
Well, it's just like you're getting more and more and more uncomfortable and tired and you haven't eaten anything. Mm. So like, and yeah, it's not like it's getting better, but it's better than you're not feeling the pain from the contractions.
Yeah. I mean that's,
but the epidural,
dude,
also,
the fucking epidural sounds incredible.
My mom got one when I was being born and I broke her tailbone and she didn't feel it. Like that's
what?
How I broke my mom's tailbone when I was born. Cause she had an epidural and she didn't even feel it.
Whoa.
Like it allows you
that doesn't surprise me one bit.
Yeah, well, he was pretty rough coming out. It's cause he had big, wide shoulders. He's gonna be built. Yeah. I'm just saying it right now. He's gonna be built. But so he gets born.
Yeah, I guess there's no like other than Larry, your father-in-law. There's not really too much boy.
There's not a lot of men.
There's not like boy because Emma's got two sisters. It's like there's not too much boy evidence on her side to
Like, what are the, you know, you think those broad shoulders come from Emicide?
Are you fucking kidding me?
Meh.
You should see these things in action. I was swinging a pick all day, man. So, well, where are we? The birth took like an hour of active, like, pushing.
Wow.
Which was pretty intense. Emma would grab on. We were, like, holding hands, kind of. Like, I was just, like, letting her pull on me as hard as she wanted. And she'd never been stronger. She was,
and you
like,
were like, thank God I went to the gym.
She was, like, death pulling me. She was really sore for days after because, like, it was, like, a bicep workout.
Yeah.
But, sure. I mean.
She was on a pull and push day.
Yeah. Yeah, he came out. And when he came, what I didn't realize is, I think I knew this, but seeing it live was very strange. When babies are born, their heads are not shaped like ours. They look like aliens. Their heads are,
they're not like us.
They're long. Their heads are like long oval things. It's pretty disturbing when he first comes out. Like, it doesn't look human at all. And the nurses are talking to me.
How long did it take to settle?
It starts settling immediately. And
I was going to say, I feel like I've seen a lot of like photos and stuff of like very, very newborn babies. And like,
and they're wearing the little hat, right?
Well, they're, I mean, the nurse but, like, is like, even sometimes we try like to right put out the of the womb and stuff. But what I'm thinking of, you're giving me the visual of Conehead right now. In the way you're describing
it's,
this.
It's intense. It's scary. Well, think, I'm sitting with, like, Emma's laying down.
Draw the shape with your hand. Draw how ovally it is with your hand.
It'd be like if my head just extended out.
No, but, like, do a draw. Do a draw in the air.
Do a draw?
Yeah.
Well, like, a side profile would be like, you know, here's your nose, your eyes, your eyebrow. Long head. Like, it's horrible, and I was not briefed about this. I was crazy. Like, I think I had seen something about this on the internet before.
Somebody who's watching this episode on the video side, draw specifically the pathway that Tucker just drew that on screen, and I want to see a drawing of.
Oh,
that.
You know what they kind of look like?
Looks like
is like those Egyptian gods that are wearing the long hat kind of thing.
Dude, what? This is crazy what you're describing to me right now. This sounds like
I know.
Like the baby's head was like a foot long?
Yes. I'm sitting with Emma. Emma's, you know, we're shoulder to shoulder and she's got her legs upright. The doctor's pulling this baby out and like immediately holds it up, boom, long ass fucking head.
Dude, xenomorph level head just like stretching through.
And like Emma's like so exhausted, she doesn't even know what's going on, really. And I'm just like this is overwhelming.
That's a big head. Like, see how long that head is?
And they rush the baby over to like the incubator table and like get
looking
the vitals.
Like fucking Patrick Starr.
They get the vitals and stuff. And I'm like, and like once things settle down and stuff, the nurse is like, yeah, we try to put that hat on as fast as possible so we don't freak the moms out. I was like, hey, but like, what about the dads?
What about me?
Because it is freaky. It is freaky. But they're like, it's totally normal. It's going to go away within like a day.
Oh. I mean, I guess
it makes
sense. It
starts deflating immediately.
Because babies' heads are a little bit more or a lot more malleable than.
They got a soft spot.
Yeah.
And well, dude, no. When they're born, they're 100% malleable.
Yeah. Like, it's got to get through the fucking.
It's got to get through the.
It's got to get through there somehow. Like, it's got to be a little malleable. Like.
It is very malleable. It was really freaky. And it's something that you don't really hear about very often.
I think you hear about it a little bit because of like when they do like they try to like do shit to babies' heads when they're first born to like in like cultures a long time ago to like have them have a certain shape.
Yeah, so someone back then noticed.
Yeah.
But I was uprange. I was not downrange, so I didn't see the hell portal.
Oh, you didn't?
I maybe saw it out of a peripheral vision at one point, but no, I never. Because before the birth, during the episode with William, I was kind of like, I'd take a look. when we were in there, I was like,
Yeah.
You don't want to see.
That's okay. You, I mean, with your plans in mind, you got two more tries.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe on the final one. Emma's mom was downrange the whole time. She saw the whole thing.
Wow.
He also didn't scream or cry like when he came out. In the movies, they're always like screaming as soon as they come out. Yeah. He was pretty chill.
Was he not breathing? Did they have to slap him?
I don't think he was breathing immediately, but they like take him to the table and do this little thing, and you know, they know how to fix it.
Yeah.
But then he didn't cry much that day. He was pretty chill that first day.
We were talking about this on the William episode too, but they don't really talk about the fact that, like, in Christianity, they make a big, like, I'm hearing this recently now from William and from you, that, like, apparently babies don't cry a lot of the time when they're born. But, like, in the Bible, when it was, like, when he was born, he didn't cry. He was completely peaceful. Like, that's a fucking big deal. So I kind of had, since I was a kid, like, growing up Catholic, I've had this thing in my head where it's, like, every baby cries when they're born, and
except Jesus.
So that's why. And but Jesus, like, he didn't, and that was like, yeah, because he came out and he was like, I already know what's going on. Like this.
Yeah, that's how he was. He came out and he seemed pretty content, honestly.
Wow. Okay. So
yeah. Right,
so should we start calling you like fucking Joseph?
Yeah, you can call me Joseph
or Peter. I forget. I don't know.
So, but he, okay, so then the thing, well, here's when it gets complicated. The baby is born.
Joseph.
It's like 2 hours. Emma has kind of a rough reaction to coming off of the induction meds and post-delivery, which was really scary. It was rough. And
right.
It was really bad. And well, everyone's
what specifically
fine.
Was the reaction?
Like, basically, like, seizure-esque symptoms, I would think. I don't know. She went into shock.
I know this part of the story. Yeah, she went into shock. It was sort of what I was leading you on.
It was really rough. But within, like, 2 hours, they're like, oh, Emma has an infection from in her uterus or wherever the placenta is connected. I don't know. But, like, she has an infection. So that means the baby is technically at risk. They're like, the nurses were like, they're pissed. They're like, there's like 99.9% chance he's completely fine. All his vitals are fine. He looks fine. Everything's good. But the system forces us to make this decision this way. There's nothing we can do. This sucks for you guys. So they had to call an ambulance.
But I mean, like, in reality, like, you're probably glad, like, that they're observing
it's that
0.1% chance.
Yeah, so it's, you know, I kind of get it. It just sucks. It's a very emotional day. It was so much.
Yeah.
So the ambulance comes from like an hour away, picks up him in this like incubator chamber and drives him. I'm not allowed to go in the ambulance with him. They take him to the bigger hospital with a NICU, which is a natal intensive care unit. It's an ICU, the intensive care unit for babies, which is typically loaded with preemies, which are premature babies, because they're born without the ability to survive.
Right.
So they're in like incubators and all sorts of stuff. But also babies that get really sick with, you know, random diseases or whatever.
Yeah.
So in our case, he had to go there for 2 days for, it was either 48 hours or 72 hours of like monitoring. So he's sleeping in this like incubator bed thing. He was by far the healthiest baby there. So it was kind of awkward. I felt very blessed because I was like, I'm so thankful to have a baby that is just kind of here on a technicality.
Yeah.
Cause it would, the NICU's a hard,
I mean, that's
place
just like such
go.
A, that's just like such a nightmare scenario too, though. Like probably when, especially at the point where like you kind of, I'm sure that they did like a really good job of explaining it to you, but it probably at the same time was like, okay, so my wife just had the baby, and now
you guys are taking it from us.
Now they're like for a period there, it was like you all three of you were separated. Like you were in a car driving to the hospital, baby's in the ambulance, and Emma was back at the original hospital. Like
yes,
that's,
And I was like, crazy. Where are we going to stay tonight? Where is he going to stay tonight? What's Emma doing? Like, we're so much going on. And my whole family was obviously like, they've been staying at my house while we were at the hospital, getting the house ready.
With, yeah, they're like what's going on?
And they're constantly texting me like, what's going on? Can we come see him? Like, when can we? Because like, you're able to bring people up to the room to visit. I was like, just giving him like texts here and there, like there's complication, like he's healthy, but like you can't come up yet and all this shit. No one in my family got to see him during that trip except for my mom, because she stayed with us the entire time until he got discharged.
Yeah.
So that was a real headache. And the NICU isn't a place people stay. It's a place where you have a premature baby at 6 months instead of 9 months, and that baby stays there for like a month, 2 months until they can breathe and eat milk on their own. So
it's
like
basically just like kind of like it, like a out of womb.
Yeah. Like you go back to work or like life and your baby stays there. That's it's not crazy. Like you're staying with your baby. So like if you're there,
that's
people
be
are
so fucking expensive too. I wonder what the hospital bill for that shit is.
The NICU bill is definitely insane, but it is like state of the art. Like there's like cutting edge technology in there.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Yeah.
Dude, the amount of employees in there. Holy shit.
Yeah, imagine like of all things, like anything related to giving birth, like that has to be where our best technology is, because has application. It's like the most core application to humanity.
I'm blessed to be in Massachusetts, which is a really medical tech heavy place. I was very impressed the entire time with the technology. And the NICU especially was incredible. Like our baby didn't really need anything. But the other babies that were receiving care, was like, holy shit, this thing's in like a rocket ship. And there's so many nurses in there, 24 hours, 365.
What did it look like? Was it like one, like I'm imagining in my head, like a room with a like bunch of kind of like in rows, like little like
yeah, it is kind of
with,
like in
okay,
rows.
So I feel like I've seen visuals of a NICU before.
Yeah, you might have. It's like tons of like kind of like push carts. Well, it depends on the severity.
Exactly what this is.
Our baby was in a push cart, very bare bones. Some babies are in like nobody fucking touched that thing. There's like pipes coming out of it and all this because they're receiving intensive care. Like so this was heavy. The baby across from him was 15 ounces.
Is that the and
our baby what, was ounces almost nine less. Pounds.
Whoa. Wait, what?
The baby across from him was smaller than this. And was alive and being treated in there. So like that's the level.
What?
Yes. That's what they're dealing with. It's like a state of the art thing. And they have
7 ounces.
It was 15 ounces.
15 ounces. Oh,
so an ounce under a pound.
God, smaller than a Gatorade bottle.
Yeah. I didn't ever look. It was very, It's a very heavy place. It's very solemn, but also like it's weird. It's a very weird place.
Yeah, because it's probably just like you can probably feel the energy of like so many other prospective parents, like all of their
a lot of grieving parents who are in like a lot of turmoil and a lot of discomfort and a lot of like uncertainty. Whereas we're like, okay, we're just waiting to get discharged. And like worst case scenario, he did have an infection, in which case they can treat it immediately and we'd have to just stay down there for 5 more days. But he would be fine. That so it was like a blessing to have a baby that was so healthy, and it was very eye-opening to be around babies that were struggling.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was a big headache for the post-birth process that hit us immediately. I want to give a shout out to my mom though. When we went to the NICU, I was kind of a mess. We get to the NICU. Immediately, I'm like, I want to go in there and visit him. And only the parents can go in. You cannot bring visitors in during cold and flu season, which is like September through January or something. Mm-hmm. So I couldn't bring my mom in. So I would go in there and spend some time with him alone and like hold him. And they have two, they're kind of like closets with bathrooms. They're rooms. They have no windows. They have a bathroom and like a fold-out couch and chair to sleep in for like emergency case NICU situations. And so we were able to get one of those. It's cable TV in there. So I went and held him, come back. Mom's got the Red Sox game on. Like the beds are made in there. And so I was able to, and I hadn't slept in like 36 hours really.
Yeah.
So I was able to like, and I was, once he was in the NICU and stuff, and I met the nurses, I was like, okay, he's very safe here. Like, he's fine. And I was able to sleep. I slept straight through till morning, which felt so good. How long is
it, like 12 hours or something, or like 8?
No, it was probably just 8 hours, but it felt so good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was intense. That was intense. And then Emma discharged a day early from the hospital to get to the NICU to be with us.
Yeah.
She was supposed to get a full another day of treatment at the hospital, which she could have used because he fucked her up coming out. And she got an infection, too.
He's clawing at the walls coming out.
You know what's funny? Is
he's knocking over furniture. He's coming out. Fuck you. You're taking me out of here. Fuck this place.
We have an early ultrasound picture of him from way back where he's honestly looks exactly how he looks. And he has both his hands up near his face. And it's that's like how he sleeps. Flight. He sleeps always like hands up. And it's funny that we got a picture on our ultrasound from months and months ago. And it literally looks exactly like him. Because I was like, I don't know. Is that like, you can't compare it to him until he's born.
Yeah. I remember when one of the first texts that I got after the baby was born, I received from you was you said, Emma's pissed because he looks exactly like me.
He did. Well, he still does, really. He might have Emma's eyes. He might have brown eyes, which would be
preference. He's currently like full blue right now, but that's just because they don't have any pigment yet. That's something that comes later. Because I had blue eyes when I was born, and then I had like pretty much full brown eyes like all of my childhood, and now they're like straight up fucking hazel now.
Yeah, they told us like it's going to be a while before you know what color hair and eyes they have because they're going to kind of change around a bit.
Dude, but my fucking eyes have been changing my whole life. You'll never know.
So when she started labor, like when we were first there, they were like, do you want to cut the cord? I was like, yeah, sure. Like, I don't know. Might as well. And he comes out. I don't think he's breathing. It's very intense. It's like Emma's screaming and pushing and like the doctor's telling her what to do. And so the baby comes out. He's not breathing, I think. So she immediately cuts it and gives it to the nurses who put him in, like, get him breathing and whatever. And then she's like, I left, like, 10 inches of cord, so you can cut that, too, if you want to. I was like, what's the point at that point? I was like, it's fine.
No need to engage in this farce.
Yeah, I was like, just cut it.
Yeah.
What? Don't give me this handout. Like... Yeah, I don't want to just cut something for the sake of... I thought it was like, sure,
speaking if I cutting, can actually... Did you do it, or is he cut or uncut?
But yeah, I didn't cut the cord because she was just going to give me like a little piece to play with, And
yeah, there's some like crazy moms that also like keep placentas and stuff. There's
well,
like some
honestly, part of well, like their belly button for the first week or so, maybe a little
it's
bit
got,
less.
Got like a little string on it.
No, it's like still umbilical cord, yeah, like attached to him, and it's like I got like a clamp on it, like a chip clip on there. Yeah. Yeah, and then one day when you're changing his diaper, it just falls off. And it looks like this little piece of mummified skin. I think it's honestly still sitting on the shelf above his changing table. I was thinking about putting it in the bird feeder or something. I don't know. It's like, what do you do with it? I think some moms keep it, but we're not keeping it.
No, leave that decision up to Emma. And
No. I found it when it fell off. It's mine.
You found finders keepers rules with the
finders keepers. I think I did every single diaper for a very long time.
Well, that's good. I think that
she's catching up now because I went back to work. But yeah. I still got the numbers on her.
You must be a fucking expert right now. Oh, and you had to do the fucking evil ones.
Yeah. Yeah, those ones. You know what's funny is when you first have the baby born, going to the NICU is actually kind of nice for this. When the baby's first born, you're like so delicate with it and stuff. And then you get to the NICU. He's basically like a fat ass baby at the NICU because they're used to really tiny babies.
Yeah.
He's like fucking a hog there. Yeah. And they're just like flipping him around. They're like, and so that kind of taught me like, oh, you don't need to be as gentle with him.
Yeah. They're flipping him.
They're spinning him like a fucking pizza. Like,
yeah. They're having him do kick flips like he's a fucking tech deck. They're like,
so that was kind of nice to know, like, okay, he's not as delicate as he looks. And so I sometimes that helps
in
with the
comparison
diapers.
To most humans, pretty damn delicate though.
That's true.
In the grand scheme,
they will fight you on the diapers sometimes, like you're screaming and just kicking. And you're like, dude, you're tripling the amount of time this is going to take.
Yeah.
But yeah. The first like 4 days, 5 days of diapers, they're shitting out this weird substance. I think it's like umbilical. It's like whatever they're eating, like yolk, umbilical fluid.
Yeah. So it wasn't like a evil black fluid.
Yeah, it's like black tarry kind of stuff. It's very sticky. It's very sticky.
Ew.
But then they start shitting out for the next long period of time because he's breastfed. They start shitting out like this yellow kind of fluid that has kind of like sesame seed stuff in it. And that's that. Occasionally it's a different color. Occasionally it's green. So I don't know how that happens. And sometimes it's like slightly
more. You
gotta
stop giving them raspberry ices. That's what you gotta stop doing.
I know. Sometimes I'm like, I wonder how much what Emma eats affects this. But sometimes it's slightly more solid than other times. And I'm like, how's this happen? He's only ever eaten the same thing.
Huh. That's weird. But when does he start getting like, at what point does he get solid shit?
Well, once he starts eating food, I think.
Okay.
I think.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's sort of
well,
the question.
Oh,
that's essentially the question.
You
were
asking,
like,
it sounded like you're asking purely about the waste.
I wasn't asking when does he have teeth and he can eat goldfish. Like, I'm asking, like, when are you spoon feeding him slop?
I don't know. I think Emma's going to try to breastfeed for 9 months.
Okay.
And this is again where you see a lot of these moms, these like TikTok moms, these mom talkers who have this hierarchy game where like you're a better mom if you can breastfeed for as long as possible and stuff, which is like,
oh yeah. But you know what the thing is too, is that I guarantee you that all of those mom talk peoples cover a certain series of categories as moms. One, probably, and you know, Emma's got this rooting against her, but one, probably a boy mom. Two, and you know that category. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, there is like a boy mom thing.
There's a boy mom thing where the mom is like she's in love with her son, and like
there's some
layer
there.
There's a layer
there to unpack
like,
there.
Yeah, there's something to unpack there where it's like, no, this isn't your second husband. This isn't like your boyfriend. Like, that's your son. Like, chill. Yeah. And then the other aspect there is you've got the, like, all those moms probably had a really hard time getting, like, that kid was walking and breastfeeding.
Well, you know what's funny that you say some of this is just, I think it was yesterday, I was kind of like, you know, Emma, I feel like I kind of understand why, like, when a father has a daughter, he's, like, so much easier on her than the son. And, like, you know, dads and daughters are often really close, and moms and sons are really close. So I was like, if I had a daughter, I feel like she'd just be so sweet. But with him, I'm like, you know, it's kind of time for you to start acting like a man, dude. Like, it's time to grow up. Like, that's kind of
where I'm like at. 7 weeks in, and you're like,
I'm like, dude, you got to start, you know, pulling your weight around this house. Like, you know, maybe do the dishes in the morning. Like,
oh, dude. I mean, what are your, so, like, I'm thinking you're going to be a pretty tough chore dad. I think you're going to have.
Yeah, I'm sick of doing the chores.
Yeah, you're going to have a fucking crazy chore wheel. Like, the kids are going to, you're going to have one of those fucking punch card things on the wall.
Yeah.
Kids are, your kids are going to be clocking.
They're going to be clocking
for
in
fucking chores.
They got to punch like a time card in some old machine.
Yeah, you're going to be giving, like, you're going to be like going over their timesheet every 2 weeks.
Yeah, I have my glasses low, like looking at it.
Yeah, yeah. They're going to be trying to call out sick, and you're, it's going to. Really? Well, they're definitely going to be trying to call out sick from school, but, you know.
Oh, yeah, they're screwed, man. They're screwed.
Well, at least, you know, you beat the hopefully there's not another COVID thing, because at least you'll have. Well, okay.
I do hope there's not another COVID.
Yeah, because that really stunts development. I mean.
Oh, my kids, he'll be developed.
Yeah, I mean.
He'll be developed.
If I know anything about, like, we usually share similar opinions on a lot of stuff, and I think that we're, like, and, you know, you're probably going to agree with me on this, but I also need to plead with you. Don't give him a screen. Don't give him a screen.
You think my kid is getting a screen?
Yeah. No, I know, but just, like.
Well, I was thinking about getting a portable
DVD player. It's not about whether or not you think you should give it. It's just, like. Here's the issue. The issue lies in, it'll make your life somewhat a lot easier.
And it's only easier in the short term, though.
Oh yeah, no, it is absolutely, like, you know, short term gains, absolutely, because it's like, but then, you know, that kid gets glued to fucking shorts. He's on reels all the time. Their brain's just fucking mush.
Well, I've been off. I got off social media for like the last 3 months. The only thing I engage with is sometimes I go on my browser and I go on my public Reddit account and I read like on r/Metroid and stuff. It's pretty tame. Mm-hmm. But I deleted YouTube off my phone too. Like I went in.
Yeah. I need to get back on my screen time limiter thing. It's tough. It's hard. It's really hard to not be on the apps when your job is the apps. But, like,
yeah, that is tough.
I don't get a single benefit from going on TikTok whenever I go on there, because it's like I never see anything that, like, I actually enjoy. I just see stuff that like, there is a difference between something that, like, I'll algorithmically watch versus something that I'll watch and enjoy and will, like, inspire me, like, in like actually creatively fulfill me in like a real way, as opposed to like I feel like TikTok most of the time is just getting a hone in on what I'm currently thinking about or anxious or whatever about, and just feeding me stuff to that. And it's just like, this isn't good.
It really will just find, like, what's kind of going on in your life today or in your head today, and let me just blast you with as much of that as possible.
Yeah, like, if I'm, like, pissed at someone or I had, like, an argument with someone, I'll get, like, something the next day where it's, like, here's 5 signs on how to identify a narcissist. And I'm, like, I don't think that's okay. But then I'm also, like, well, what are the signs? And so it'll feed me more. And I'm, like, I'm at a certain point, it's, like, every other on my feed's shit like that. And I'm, like, okay, I'm not in this situation right now. I don't know why I keep reading this stuff.
Thinking a lot about how like social media is essentially a drug. Like, I think we can all agree.
Oh my God,
it might as well be a drug.
Absolutely,
but
yeah,
the reason it's very weird to like deal with socially is because we all use this drug at least a little bit. Everybody uses it at least a little.
It's so in some ways it's like in some ways it is like alcohol in that regard, because there's a social social facet to social media, obviously.
Yeah, it is kind of like alcohol. Like everybody has a beer, but
at the same time though, I think that people are, and this is more just like, nothing against anyone who's sober. I've gone periods where I don't drink for like a month. Like I don't really drink that much at all. So it's not, but like, I think that being sober is something where it's like, sometimes friends can maybe feel a little bit inconvenienced when someone's sober in that regard, whether it's like, oh, well, they can't. They're not, or they assume they're not going to have as much fun. Even though most sober people, they're gonna be able to hang. They have some of the people that I know that are sober are honestly more like fucking hype and like down to do whatever than the people that are drinking. But
I think that's, you know, that's,
but with social media, when you say that you're getting off social media, a lot of times if you tell people that, they're like, "Good for you." They're like, I think that people
respect
media it more than you think.
Social media is like a individual activity.
Yeah. Cause we all know
is ironic.
That it's kind of bad for us. I think we all inherently know that.
Well, and yeah, if you're like having a drink, if you're drinking, a lot of times you're doing it with a group. So like you're socializing. Whereas if you're on social media, you're often alone.
Yeah.
You know, but the reason that it's weird is because like my sister is here a few weekends ago and she's sitting on the couch, just like, going reel after reel after reel after reel. I was like, Megan, get off the thing.
It was Megan.
I'm calling her out. It was Megan. And I'm like, get off the reels. Like,
it is funny
like
how I initially assumed that it was Mel.
No, Mel doesn't. I think she's, well, I don't know.
Really?
She goes in and out of that stuff. But no, Megan's more of like typical like Gen Z kind of college kid.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
And I was like, get off it. And she's like, no, I just want to use it. I just want to use it. But I'm like, but it's like, if it's a, it's kind of like a drug and you're just kind of doing it on my couch and I don't want to watch you do it. And I feel like it's, but it's kind of weird. Cause like, yeah, I've also watched.
To be fair to Megan, I do think that, because I know exactly the tonality that you came at her with that, and I've experienced it myself before, because it is based on your own personal perception of like how the world you would like the world should be and stuff. And I don't knock her for initially being resistant to it, because I've definitely been like that with you when you've had an opinion on something, and it can definitely that would be how I reacted too, where I would just be like, leave me alone.
Yeah, I just find that the scrolling the reels, because I've gone through periods where I was a reels addict. I think I finally truly broke the addiction, but I was deep in it for a little bit. But it's kind of becomes like a pacifier.
Yeah, you were so deep in it. I mean, like if you ever get back on, you'll have a lot of stuff in there. You were so deep in it, and we've talked about this on the pod before, but you were so deep in it, you became like a connoisseur. I was getting graded on my reels to a point where I stopped.
Dad was sending
you reels because I was like, no, I sent them you now. But I was like, there was a period where I stopped because I was like, every time I send something to Tucker, if he's seen it, or if he kind of like doesn't think it was that funny, he'll like immediately like berate me for it. And that he'll be like, weak reel, sorry.
Well, or there was like, a time
seen this before, old news. He saw it 20 minutes ago.
I was so deep on the reels that I was seeing everything. Nobody could send me a new reel.
Yeah.
It was rock bottom. So, yeah.
Sometimes I'll text him a link to a reel, and then he'll act like he can't get to it as if it wouldn't open up in a browser for him to watch it.
Yeah, I don't think Instagram will let you use a browser anymore.
Really?
TikTok did that a long time ago, and I think Instagram does it now. Hmm. Yeah, like if you try to open a TikTok on a link, it will not let you. Wow. It says, you got to download the app. And now I think Instagram does that too.
Or even worse, it'll say, things are better on the app. They'll frame it like that, and I'll be like, fuck you.
The persuasion. I did log into Instagram on my browser on my computer the other day to get some. I was looking for something. I had a lot of DMs from a lot of people, and I had a lot of DMs that were like, I'm so sorry for your loss. What about you?
Yeah, I know. But we should probably save that chat for the Patreon, because we're towards the end of the episode here.
My birth story was so scattered. I was like all over the place. Cause
it's okay. I mean, you're remembering it as you go. I think that you covered pretty much the whole story that I got when you first got back.
The thing is, Emma made me a list today of like things that I should talk about in regards more to like the baby leave. And there's some really good, funny stuff. But I guess
we could save them for the Patreon.
We'll just save it for the Patreon. The Patreon's going to be funny.
Well, $5 a month. Join us over there. Patreon. We're going to keep chatting, and we're going to keep hanging. And then also we're going to record. We're going to be back to doing the gaming stuff that we do on the Patreon now that Tucker's back in
action.
Gaming stuff that we do. So we'll hope you see you over there. Thanks for listening, folks, to this episode. Take it easy. Tucker's back in town. He's a father.
I'll be around. Call me
Love
daddy.
You to death. Call him daddy. And we'll catch you next time.
Bye, guys.
Peace.